It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Splits the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots, score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Worked loose. Bortolo fights for it with Sherry. Coming over Mott to double-team him there, but Vlasic came in to help out. It's poked at. Sherry checked by Vlasic. Now AC Mott couldn't get it. Bortolo stick handles, but then he loses on the check to Dumba as he tries the zone exit.
Sherry and Vlasic.
Yeah, Sherry and Vlasic look like they don't like each other, and Vlasic wrestles Sherry to the ice, and they continue the battle royal there as the linesmen jump in.
I really liked our first two periods. You know, I thought we managed the puck really well, defended hard. I thought, you know, we played a really good game, and then I thought obviously they get the power play goal to start the third, and we get demoralized, and we get a little sloppy. But, you know, that's a really good team we just played, and, you know, I wish we were able to be a little bit more opportunistic in the second. He made two or three big time saves, and, you know, we get that penalty at the end of the second, and which is really too bad because I thought we played a really good second period.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? The San Jose Sharks coming off a 4-1 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning, a game in which the Sharks, in my opinion, had a much-needed response game to the way they played on Tuesday in Nashville. They obviously were going up against a very potent team in Tampa. Obviously, Tampa still in that playoff fight right now, but Tampa Bay reminds me of the type of team that just needs to get there, just needs to get into the playoffs. And then once they get into the playoffs, they can turn it on and be a very dangerous team. And with that goalie and with their top end talent, and their championship pedigree, I would not be surprised if they make another run deep into the playoffs. And even though they have not been a flawless team this year, I would not be surprised if they ended up in the Stanley Cup final. So it'll be interesting to see where Tampa goes from there. And, you know, you're going up against a very, very high-level team, and the Sharks, in my opinion, for two periods, did a really, really good job. And I think that's the most important thing that you want to see. It's how do you compose yourself? How do you perform? The game is, you know, a 1-0 game early off a fluky bounce, and instead of many games prior where the Sharks could have dropped their shoulders and could have just let the floodgates open, they really responded well and fought their way back into it. And despite the fact that they were going up against a team as good as Tampa was, you saw William Eklund responding. Like, William Eklund gets dropped to the fourth line in this game, trying to maybe put a chip on his shoulder. He had said that he was not playing his best hockey as of late. I think that he's obviously always competing hard and doing things to the best of his ability, but it's a long season, and the Sharks and the way they've been performing as a team across the board this year, yeah, you understand why maybe there might be a bit of a wane or a loss in overall desire to be your absolute best. And I'm not saying that's what's going on with William Eklund for sure, but I'm saying I understand why guys are not playing their best hockey at this point. But obviously, William Eklund at this point of his career has got to prove himself. And then he responded by being, you know, the right guy in the right moment when the play demanded it early on. And I thought that that was a good thing to see, a very, very high quality, high level performance from him in the moment when he was called upon. And then the rest of the game, I thought that he played very well. I thought that Jacob McDonald played very well throughout the game, was taking shots, was moving the puck well, was in the right place at the right time. The Sharks, through two periods, did a lot of things the right way. And that's ultimately what you want to see from your team. You want to see them being dangerous and being ultimately the team that has the ability to change the complexion of the game. And I thought that at various points, the Sharks did look like they were doing that. Obviously, Vasilevskiy is an absolutely unbelievable beast of a goalie. And when he plays like that, good luck getting it past him. You know, he was phenomenal, except for one shot, and that was off a turnover when Eklund was able to score, getting it on a really nice play from McDonald. And yeah, at that point, it's 1-1, and things are looking really good. And the Sharks, you know, it was nice to see Mackenzie Blackwood back in net. I thought he made some nice saves. He had some really nice double saves. It was a nice little netminder battle between those two for two periods. And then in the third period, after you have that odd slashing penalty taken by Jan Ruda late in the second period or right there at the end of the second period, that puts, you know, Tampa on the power play. They score 34 seconds into the third period to make it 2-1. And then Anthony Duclair with a very nice goal makes it 3-1. And then Braden Point adds on to make it 4-1. And then the game, you know, was firmly in hand of Tampa. We'll get into those highlights in a little bit here. But, you know, that's the difficult thing that I have about conceptualizing what the Sharks are at this point in time is that it is still hard for me to digest that if you have only given up one goal going into the third period as the home team, that's not a game that you feel like you're ultimately going to win 99% of the time. And listen, I can, you know, go back over the years with Sharks, even when they were the, you know, the sexy Sharks, the Sharks that were competing for a title every single year, where yes, I'm sure they had only given up one goal entering the third and it was not a game that they won. However, it is the idea that you've given yourself such a good opportunity to win on your home ice that 99% of the time, or more generally, most of the time, that's a game you're going to win. And for the Sharks this year, whether it's been one goal, whether it's been two goals, that is clearly not the case. That's not where they are right now as a franchise. And listen, I'm not trying to, you know, dog on them or anything. It's just that's where they are right now. They cannot, you know, be guaranteed a win in any way, shape, or form in the sense that, yeah, they've only given up one goal. That's a winnable game. Or the classic two or fewer, you know, type adage. That's not what they are right now. And so it's frustrating watching these games, but there is a relative understanding of what's happening, and that's why the Sharks find themselves at, you know, 16 wins on the season and only 39 points. Then you look at their home record, 10 wins at home, which is better than last year, which is a good thing to see, but, you know, 10, 20, and 3 is not lighting the world on fire. And then you look at their road record of 6, 26, and 4, yeah, it's not been pretty. And then as of late, you know, 1, 8, and 1, they've lost 6 in a row. Again, it's not been pretty, and it's a necessary thing for the Sharks to go through as part of their rebuild. But, you know, I always come back to the fact it's like, wow, you know, you only give up one goal entering the third. You should win that game every single time, or at least make it feel like you're going to win every single time. That's just not where the Sharks are right now. But overall, the Sharks had a much better effort. They're going up against a team that is in a playoff fight and is in a much different situation. I try to take that into account. The Sharks are obviously on the other side of the deadline, on the other side of being officially eliminated from the playoffs. They are just playing for pride and for jobs next year, which is what you want to, you know, get some fight out of these younger guys and maybe some of the veterans that are fighting for jobs and things of that nature. But you also got to fight for each other, which I felt the Sharks did a good job of last night. And you've also got to fight just because the pride plays such a huge factor in what you're trying to accomplish. I appreciated Mark Edward Vlasic tangling last night, showing some fire there. I appreciated just overall the Sharks having such a better response over the course of the game than they did against Nashville. Obviously that's a low bar to clear, but you know, I think that they know that there's a lot of people around the league, a lot of people around the sports world who are looking at them and wondering what's going on. From a distance, it probably looks even worse, but up close, you see a team that's going through the downtime so they can be good again. You've got guys fighting for jobs. Still a lot of effort and fight and pride from these guys, and they don't like losing 8-2. I know 4-1 isn't exactly amazing, but it is a much better outcome compared to some of the games they played as of late. Chicago was not a great game. I think the Sharks all felt that they were capable of beating that Chicago team and then felt that they really underperformed, and I think there'll be probably some revenge on the line as they head into that game on Saturday night, but ultimately, the Sharks played a better game. And I think at this point, better is what you should be looking for as opposed to wins, as opposed to other, you know, qualifiers or results. It's did they play better than the lows that they've shown as of late? And the answer overwhelmingly last night was yes. All right, let's get into some of these highlights. How about a weird, weird bounce to start off the scoring for Tampa?
Cross ice pass by Morrissey to Iafano. Now Scheifele back for Morrissey for a drive save and a great stop by Blackwood on a backhand shot by Iafano on the rebound. Play continues. Shot. Glove save. Oh no! Knocked down! And it's just poked wide by Winnipeg.
in front of a net. Another shot by Morrissey wide. Big rebound in front. Fed across the ice. Winnipeg flying. It's now a chance toward the net. And it's a block by Ferraro off the stick of Ehlers from the right wing circle. Winnipeg keeps the pressure on. They can really ratchet things up when they want to. Here's the play to the net. They score! That's a shot by Ehlers. Might have been tipped in front. Velarde was at the right side of the goal, and somehow it slipped in. That is a power play goal for Winnipeg, a costly one against the Sharks. It is 2-1 Jets.
Well, so that's less than 5 minutes into the game and off just a strange bounce. Like I said earlier, the way this season has gone for the Sharks, I was somewhat expecting for the game to potentially take a turn at that point to be all the way of Tampa Bay, but instead, the Sharks responded nicely, they settled in, they kept on fighting, and then it was William Eklund off a nice play from Jacob McDonald to read a passing lane, intercept it, cause the turnover, and find Eklund on the back door to make it a 1-1 game.
Lightning able to pick it back up, and turnover there by Chernock. Down the left side comes McDonald moving in, throwing it in front, shot, score! William Eklund gets it from the steal on the part of McDonald, and Eklund finished it off. That is a great finish and a nice celebration for Eklund, who ends a lengthy goalless drought to tie it up 1-1.
Big moment for the Sharks there to make it 1-1 after falling behind on a fluky play early. After that, the Sharks really played well. The second period, I thought that they were worthy of scoring at least one goal, maybe a couple more after that. They gave themselves a chance. They kept on fighting. They kept on battling. And ultimately, it was a slashing penalty, which was given to Jan Ruda at the end of the second period, which I didn't love, for lack of a better term, that led to an early third period goal for Tampa Bay on the power play.
To the left point. Hedman, fan of the puck, stolen away by Granlund. Granlund turns. He's got Cunning breaking. What a back check by Brayden Point to steal that, and he gets it back for the Lightning. Moves in and across the San Jose line, drops near boards. Stamkos to the slot, one-time shot, save, rebound, Point scores! So Brayden Point makes the great defensive play, and then he finishes it off on a rebound to get it by Blackwood, 34 seconds into the third. The number one power play in the NHL makes it 2-1 Lightning.
And at that point, I think a little bit of deflation did set in with the Sharks. Just a little bit, not a lot, but I think knowing that they'd not been able to break through off some really good looks throughout the second period, and especially after that first one overall from Eklund with Vasilevsky just being absolutely amazing, as just the guy is incredible. That's just what he does. But I think that you know what you're going up against in that capacity. It's not just the goalie. It's, you know, your own lack of offensive prowess. I think a little bit of doubt creeps into the back of the mind, but the Sharks kept on fighting. Unfortunately, Tampa just kept on having the answers, and the former San Jose Shark Anthony Duclair found his 20th of the season to make it a 3-1 game.
And Brayden Point has got the go-ahead goal, races out for Tampa. Cuts to his right, across the line, dishes off, Kucherov to the slot, breakaway, Duclair, score! Anthony Duclair, backhander, top shelf, but wow, what a convergence of plays by Point and Kucherov to get him the puck. Lightning lead 3-1.
I give the Sharks a lot of credit because after that one, I still felt that they were still in it. Now, they had obviously been not as good throughout the entirety of the third period, but they still played like they had a chance. They still were fighting to give themselves an opportunity. And for me, that's, again, what you want to see, because it's better than what they have shown in other games as of late, where they didn't respond, where they let the game get away from them. And this is one where they did not let the game get away from them. They played with pride, and even though, yes, it ended up as a 4-1 final, the Sharks continued to battle even after giving up that third goal, tried to make things happen. Ultimately, it was a fourth goal, Brayden Point, making it a 4-1 game, which was good for your final.
Burrows lost his glove along with his stick on the play.
But he was right by the bench, so he just changed.
He just stepped onto the bench. The glove is still falling on the ice inside the San Jose territory. Now it's loose in front. They score! The Lightning win a battle in the corner. Duclair in the corner along with one of the other members of the Lightning, Kucherov. They get it to Brayden Point, and Point bangs it in. 4-1 Tampa. That should be the fourth assist for Nikita Kucherov.
Yeah, Kucherov with his fourth assist of the night there. 4-point game for him. He is just absolutely phenomenal. Obviously, having the season he is having for a reason, but that made it 4-1, and that was good for your final. But yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, these names on Tampa. You've got Kucherov, you've got Point, you've got Stamkos, you've got Hedman. They have not been playing their best hockey compared to what they were a few years ago when they won back-to-back titles. But, you know, they are a team, like I said, that if they can get into the postseason, which it looks like they will at this point, even though there's a lot of time left to go, they are the team that you probably don't want to play just because of their pedigree and just because they do seem like that team that's just waiting to turn it on. And then once they do turn it on, yeah, look out and see what happens next. One of the more concerning things after the game was that Mackenzie Blackwood, who we were scheduled to speak with, was not able to speak with us because he was being evaluated. It was implied that he was being evaluated for the play in which he lost his mask. And so, okay, that's, you know, I'm not trying to compare what is good and or bad and saying that, oh, well, you know, if he's being evaluated for a concussion, at least that's not a soft tissue injury. But it's like, yeah, it's a brain, though. You need your brain to function at a high level for every aspect of life, not just being a goalie. But it didn't sound like there was that much concern. It sounded like it was just something they wanted to be sure of and that Mackenzie Blackwood should be all right. But I thought Mackenzie looked pretty good throughout the game. In his first game back, I do not put, you know, that loss on him in the slightest. I think that he looked like Mackenzie Blackwood that we've seen all throughout the year. He made some big saves. He had a great double save at one point in the third period. And I'm excited that he's back for San Jose, and I want to see him perform strong through the end of the year. But most importantly, I want him to be healthy. So I'm sure we'll get an update on that later today, but it did not seem like it was of great concern, even though at the time when they said, oh, he's being evaluated, everybody kind of looked around and said, uh-oh. But like I said, we got not total clarity, but implied clarity that was just related to the play where he lost his mask and that there was not too much concern. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction. That's all coming up next on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Left point. Uh-oh, Hedman, fan of the puck, stolen away by Granlund. Granlund turns, he's got Cunning breaking. What a back check by Braden Point to steal that, and he gets it back for the Lightning. Moves in and across the San Jose line, drops near board. Stamkos to the slot, one-time shot, save, rebound, Point scores! So Braden Point makes the great defensive play, and then he finishes it off on a rebound to get it by Blackwood, 34 seconds into the third. The number one power play in the NHL makes it 2-1 Lightning.
Well, yeah, it certainly helped. We knew we were getting a power play and, you know, probably weren't pleased with the first couple that we had. So anytime you score a goal early in a period, especially one that puts you ahead, it gives you a little spark. And, you know, it certainly did. And, you know, ended up being the game-winning goal, and it was a big play for us.
The game-winning goal, and then Steve Stamkos bringing us back in on a Friday morning on Morning Tide after the Sharks 4-1 loss to Tampa. Obviously, like you said, those are a big 2 points for them, a team that is in their, well, they're leading the wild card, but they're fighting for positioning. Obviously, they have not been as good all season long as they were in the past, but this Tampa team, they know how to win. They know how to get it done in the postseason, and I'm not going to be surprised if they make a deep run, but it just shows you that they are clearly in the process of playing for something, whereas you compare that to the Sharks, they are not. And I know that pride comes on the line. I know that that's obviously a talking point, but you have to be aware of the fact that, yes, there is a difference in what they are playing for and what the Sharks don't have the opportunity to play for. More from head coach David Quinn after last night's loss. He was asked what his message was after the first two periods when they're in it, 1-1, and then seeing Tampa take that early third period goal off the power play.
Just keep going, and I was really proud of our group after we give up that fluky goal that we kept playing and really didn't get, you know, distracted or whatnot. We kept going, and, you know, it's just unfortunate. You know, we just got demoralized too easily after we gave up that second goal.
I'm sure from his point of view, he thought the demoralization came too easily, but I thought that at that point, Tampa was making a rush for it. And actually, you can hear about it from Steven Stamkos after the game, what his thoughts about, you know, the way the game played out and how they had to fight their way through it against San Jose.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just, this is one of those games where, like, you know, we've been playing some really good teams, you're on a roll, and you come in here and, you know, you want to not change anything, but, you know, they've been struggling a little this year. You know, not a lot of fans in the stands. It's just, it's one of those games that sometimes you fall into that trap, and maybe we did for the first 2 periods, but we came in here, we said, listen, these points are too valuable for our group at this time of the year, no matter who we're playing. And I thought we responded really well in the third, and obviously big 2 points for us.
I think listening to that, I think there's some indication that it was a fight for the Lightning. And I think that's ultimately, even though David Quinn said there was a too easy of a demoralization after giving up that 2-1 goal, of which, yeah, from his perspective, I'm sure there was, but it still sounded like it was a tough battle for them. It still sounded like they obviously had to fight their way through this one, and I don't have a big issue with that. I think it's important to watch a team, you know, try and respond and fight, and even at that point against a team as good as Tampa, if the Sharks were only down 2-1 early in the third period, I'm going to take that performance overall. But I think that obviously they knew what they were going up against. They've got a great goalie on that side that they were not going to be able to get much past. And I think that, you know, it took a very opportunistic play between McDonald and Eklund to get the one goal. They weren't going to get too many more chances like that. Early in the game, Tampa was sloppy, but they settled down. And so it just made life that much more difficult for San Jose. William Eklund scored the lone goal for San Jose last night after being demoted to the fourth line as an opportunity for him to kind of prove it, play with a chip on his shoulder. David Quinn weighed in on Eklund after the game.
For sure. I thought he had a really good night tonight. And he and I talked at length this morning. And, you know, we talked about why we were moving him. And, you know, I thought he had a really good night.
Now, I think that's ultimately what every coach wants to say. If you are looking to instigate a response, if you are looking to make something happen, send a message to a player. You don't want to see them falter. You want to see them respond, and that's exactly what William Eklund did. And yes, we looked to that goal most importantly, and he did have the composure in the moment to finish it. But all throughout the game, I think he just looked a little bit more engaged, and like he alluded to, there was a little bit less thinking, a little bit less hesitation in his game all throughout the course of the night. I think he was just more decisive, more overall focused, and it gave him the opportunity to be that much better on the ice. And then we'll see if they keep him on that fourth line, if they move things around. David Quinn looked to elicit a response by playing the role of instigator and dropping him down to that fourth line, and William Eklund responded. The team also responded, which I thought was a very important aspect of this game. David Quinn was asked what he said, what his message was to the team this morning, especially in light of the way that road trip ended and knowing what they were going up against in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, just you could sense, you know, just rationalizing not doing what they were supposed to do because I thought they were thinking the other guys are going to do what he should do. And when you start playing hockey that way, it just doesn't work. And I thought tonight we really trusted each other and, you know, really played with conviction and, you know, approached the game the way we needed to. And I didn't think we chased offense for the first 2 periods. I thought we got pucks behind them, made good decisions. There weren't any odd man rushes or turnovers. And I think we got a little bit away from that once we got down 2-1.
I think also Tampa turned up the volume, so to speak, and the Sharks played with a little bit more of a reactive, responsive nature, which that's what good teams do. They force other teams to be reactive. They force other teams into the game they want them to play. And when the Sharks start chasing the puck and looking for offense, they just kind of get out of sorts. And Tampa's good enough to take advantage of that situation. To that point, Quinn was asked about how he thought the Sharks defended against such top-level talent.
Well, I thought we were on top of them. I thought we took away time and space and made it difficult for them. So, you know, it was hard for them to get going. You know, at least through the first 2 periods, I thought, again, I didn't love our third. But, you know, those first 2 periods, I thought we made it difficult in the offensive zone, in our own zone for them coming out and even in the neutral zone. So, you know, that's really how you want to play defense. You want to prevent it from getting to your own end. And, you know, forechecking happens to be a defensive act, but happens to be in the offensive zone. So I thought we were better in those areas tonight.
Overall, much better. And I think that's something the Sharks want to build upon and take that into Saturday night's game against Chicago. More on that from David Quinn.
Well, you know, the challenge would be let's do this for 60 minutes. You know, we've got the blueprint and we've talked about how we need to play to be successful. And, you know, we went about it the right way for 2 periods.
Quinn was also asked if there was going to be any more line shuffling into Saturday's game.
Maybe, you know, today, you know, we thought Hoff was going to be able to play, and then, you know, after the pregame skate, wasn't going to be able to, so that kind of altered the plan a little bit, but you know, we'll see. It's been a year where I never know who's going to play until game time. There's times where I've told a guy he's not playing and then he's in, and I want to avoid that. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, guys get sick. So really, a lot of times you wait till the guys get to the rink and the lineup's on the board and tell the guy's not playing, because it's, you know, the way this year has evolved, it's just been a little bit crazy.
Reminded me, obviously, hearing Quinn talk about all the lineup issues the Sharks have had this year, just because the injuries have played such a massive factor. I don't know if you guys saw this story, but Pierre Maguire went out there and criticized the Sharks' rebuild and said that, you know, the Sharks are in trouble and that anyone says they are believing in the rebuild in San Jose, their nose is growing by the second. It's like, well, I find that to be disingenuous, because I think that there is a very clear path of what we have seen across modern sports and especially in the NHL as of late. You look at Tampa before they had this run. You look at Colorado before where they were. You look at how long the rebuild has taken in LA, in Anaheim, in Detroit. There is clearly a path that has been well paved in this league about what the teams have to get through to be where they need to get to eventually. Now, the other aspect of that is some people will say, well, we knew the Sharks were going to be bad. We didn't know it was going to be this bad. Now, hold up. Before the season, people were saying this was a historically all-time bad team in the cap era. So which is it? Is it a team that's going to be one of the worst of all time, or it shouldn't be this bad? Like, what is your definition of this bad? And that's where I think that you just kind of get some of these sour grapes mentality and people criticizing what the Sharks are doing, because as I've said many times over the season, it looks worse from afar than it does up close. But, you know, let's go back in time for people whose noses are apparently growing over the state of the Sharks rebuild. You had huge contracts in Burns, Carlson, the Hurdle situation, and what they were going to do with Timo Meier. They have moved out from all of those to create a tremendous amount of cap space heading towards the summer. The Timo trade in particular, they said they lost that, now viewed as a phenomenal trade. The Carlson trade, oh, the Sharks got just absolutely fleeced, now viewed as a phenomenal trade. The Tomas Hertl trade, oh, the Sharks should have gotten more. What would you expect to get more of? There was not going to be that much on the table, and Mike Greer said as much. You had a guy with a massive contract and an injury history who was not getting any younger. I think to get two first-round picks out of that, essentially a first-round prospect and another one coming from Vegas, that's a very good get for Mike Greer. And then you look at the fact that they're clearing so much cap space, which gives them more opportunities just to be able to be that much more situated for the future. The here and now, the 8-2 losses, the 10-2, the 10-1, the 7-2s. Yeah, that's not fun. I agree, but you tear it down. You get rid of all the things that are going to be problematic to build towards a future in which a player will not be a part of. And I'm not saying that to criticize Tomas Hertl. I'm not saying to criticize any of those players, but they had big time contracts. And so the Sharks decided to go for the future and not try and do something in the here and now. You've been looking at Mike Greer compiling draft picks, compiling prospects, giving himself the greatest opportunity to build potential. And everyone who says, oh, they know that this player is going to be a star, or this player is going to be that, nobody knows. Nobody knows, but you give yourself a chance. And so Mike Greer is giving himself the most opportunities to develop those top-level players. You make yourself as educated as possible on these players for the future, but Mike Greer is giving himself the most opportunities to develop potential. I look at the first-round picks the Sharks had last year, the first-round picks that are coming this year, that are coming next year. Mike Greer has situated the Sharks very, very nicely. I am very, very excited for what's coming next for them, and I think everyone should be as well. You have to be bad to get good again. The Sharks were a contending team for the better part of two decades. That takes a toll. They are paying that right now, but Mike Greer, in my opinion, has made some very savvy moves that will potentially expedite the rebuild as well. All right, we are just about out of time. Be sure to join us tomorrow as we get you ready for the Chicago Blackhawks to come to town. I think the Sharks are going to be looking for a much better performance than what they put up on the road. Of course, that one starts at 7:30, 7 o'clock pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. And, of course, tune in for the buildup as we get you ready for that game. And then I will be with you Sunday morning right here on Morning Tide as we look back at the game that was. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
Lightning able to pick it back up. And turnover there by Chernock. Down the left side comes McDonald moving in. Throwing it inside.